You are listening to WXRW LP Milwaukee 104.1 FM and RiverWestRadio.com globally, as well as CreamCityMedia.com/anti. Hello, I'm your host, NTSC, and welcome again to The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. The Anti is anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, anti-hierarchy, anti-sexist, anti-racist, anti-fascist, anti-electoralist, and more. If we are against so much, what do we stand for? The ideals of freedom. In this series, we explore what a free society could look like while recognizing that none of us today are truly free. As ever, WXRW River West Radio needs your help. Times are tough for nonprofits, and especially so for nonprofits who seek to engage, educate, and activate the at-risk and disenfranchised. If you want to help us out, donate today online, join our Patreon campaign, come visit the station at 824 East Center Street, and purchase some gear that you will then wear or use. Or if you represent a local entity of some kind, reach out and become an official underwriter. You can support us, and in so doing, we will make sure everyone knows about you. 2016 was a tough year for a lot of people. Yes, all that political stuff happened, and that was terrible. It was really bad. But there's also a phrase that people tend to use kind of very often when referring to 2016. It still gets used a lot, and it goes something like this. It's usually some iteration of these words or a phrase along the lines of, we lost a lot of great people in 2016. And of course, people are referring to David Bowie, Carrie Fisher, Alan Rickman, Abe Vigoda, Harper Lee, Prince, Muhammad Ali, Gene Wilder, Leonard Cohen, George Michael, Debbie Reynolds, and many, many more. That sure is a lot of famous people whose work touched millions across the globe over many decades. Those names, those artists, they certainly had an impact on a lot of lives. And there are definitely those who would say that they were their heroes, some of them. Some of those whom we lost in 2016. Death isn't the only way that we lose heroes, though, especially not in the climate of these past few years. So I've talked a little in past episodes about heroes and the phenomenon of hero worship, and I've really only barely touched on it as a topic because I always felt that it would really be better served with a full 29 minutes devoted to it, and today I feel the need to finally really broach this topic, primarily because my wife recently lost someone very important to her. So I was waiting to do this show on hero worship. I was waiting for a very specific kind of event to unfold. So a little while ago, a scathing, terrifying series of documentaries were released about R. Kelly, the monstrously abusive pedophile millionaire. I knew I wanted to do a show about hero worship, but I needed to bide my time for a new fallen star so that it would at least be somewhat relevant to the news cycle. And not surprisingly, I didn't need to wait very long. So it came out somewhat recently that Ryan Adams is a piece of garbage abuser who gaslit, manipulated, and preyed upon underage girls. This news hit my wife very hard, especially. In her 20s, she connected very deeply with Adams' music. Something about it gave her some sense of comfort or some sort of outlet during what was a very difficult time of her life. There are a few artists that have really sustained her through the years, and Adams was one of those. And I should note that she kind of had an inkling that he was sort of a jerk a while ago, since she used to write reviews, music reviews, for an online publication. And at one point, her editor had written a poor review of an album of Ryan Adams or of an event of his or something like that. He wrote kind of a negative review about it. Adams personally sent correspondence basically telling my wife's editor to violate himself rectally and die. And that's not necessarily the action of a stable, healthy person. So still, the news of his abuse and his predatory behavior really hit hard. So there is a thrust in anarchism, a warning, perhaps, against hero worship. Let me state for the record, it's a hard habit. Hero worship is a hard habit to try and break yourself of. Just personally, in 2007, when I first began to learn about anarchism and I read the writings of Emma Goldman and Pyotr Kropotkin and Noam Chomsky and Lucy Parsons and more, I was so drawn to their thought process and their collective bravery and their wisdom, I considered them heroes. It was Emma Goldman and Ursula Le Guin who would eventually present kind of how dangerous hero worship can be, and for so many reasons. I don't think I need to explain that our culture is one absolutely built on the worship of icons. Emma Goldman would refer to them as fetishes with a CH, and we'll spend a little time on some of Emma's writings later. But first, let's look at the parasocial relationship, what it is, and the inherent dangers that come along with it. When you know someone personally, when you've met them face to face and you've gotten familiar with them, it can be said that you enjoy a social relationship with them. These people are your friends, your family, your colleagues, your coworkers, members of your church, members of clubs to which you belong, etc. You know, they are people you actually know. You don't necessarily like these people, but you know them, you know, and you know things about them. That is a social relationship, and you have hundreds of them. There's a name for the number, but you usually have anywhere between 100 to 150 of these relationships in your life going on currently. Someone you know of and has no idea you exist. Someone you have seen at a rally or a concert or a performance or on television, or you listen to their podcast or you watch videos that they make. Maybe someone for whom you've stood in line to get an autograph, or someone whose books you've read or music you've listened to. Someone you don't know, but you feel you do because of how much of their public persona you have consumed kind of as a commodity. You and that person share a parasocial relationship. They don't know you, and in truth, you don't know them. But nonetheless, they have a measurable impact on your life, if from a distance. And that impact isn't fake. You know, they have a real effect on your life. Be it emotional, creative, spiritual, whatever it might be, whatever form it takes, they are important to you. And that's real. And this is a difficult topic to talk about in our current social climate because for so many people, heroes are crucial. They can show representation for underrepresented, disenfranchised groups. They can show that anyone can achieve their dreams, you know, however false that notion may actually be in reality. They can give hope, though, in that way. If their message or their platform is one with which you agree, then their visibility can be seen as having a positive impact on the world or on public discourse that you may appreciate. In a world such as this, where most of us have literally no voice at all, you know, be it in how the world is run or how we get to spend our lives or how we get to live just in general, heroes show us people whose voice actually matter, you know, who are being heard. And that's obviously a big part of the problem. Right now, the odds are good that your voice doesn't matter. And I've shown time and again in past episodes. The research proves unequivocally that your voice doesn't matter. The research shows you are not being heard, and literally nobody in power with any capacity to affect real change, you know, gives a damn about your opinions on anything. So whose voice is getting amplified in this world? Well, with precious few exceptions, the voices of people who in some way produce profit get amplified. Actors, actresses, musicians, politicians, entrepreneurs, moguls, pundits. For the most part, again, with very few exceptions, they got to where they are with visibility and influence because their medium or their message or the, you know, their product, as it were, was saleable to a market. So let's take, for example, the Me Too movement and the Time's Up initiative. First, let me say that it is critical that survivors of abuse and trauma absolutely need to be able to speak up, name their abusers, and work towards healing on their own terms, on their own timeline, and without input from any other party. That shouldn't be up for debate. On the outset, it can look like these social impulses like Me Too and Time's Up are actually making headway. Ryan Adams' victims felt safe in coming out on their own terms and naming their abuser, and, you know, will have to relive whatever trauma they experienced in describing those experiences. Right? Okay. And some people could see that as being great. But no, not really. I'll ask you a question. What's better than outing an abuser? What's better than, you know, getting justice or possibly getting justice? Well, what's better is not giving that person the power to abuse in the first place. What does the saying go? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? Part of the problem with any parasocial relationship is that it creates an inherent hierarchy. A power imbalance between the idol or the fetish of your interest and yourself, the worshiper, the fan, the stan, the follower, etc. If you listen to any of this show in the past, and past episodes are available at creamcitymedia.com/anti, then you know that it is incumbent on any hierarchy to prove its own legitimacy. Where that hierarchy or power imbalance fails to prove legitimacy, it ought to be dismantled. And I think it's a very easy case to argue against the legitimacy of a parasocial relationship. Let's examine the typical behavior patterns of a rich and a famous abuser. Most often they are men. They use their status to manipulate followers or fans or sometimes other celebrities who know them through their body of work. They use their power to offer benefits or incentives or perks or a glimpse at a good life, you know, a better life. The kind of person who seeks fame, fortune, attention, power, influence, adoring fans often suffer from personality disorders, or they at least have an inflated sense of self that can lead to really selfish, pernicious behavior. And then recall that we have two separate justice systems, as we looked at in a previous episode, one for the rich and powerful and another for the poor. And you can plainly see that abusers can get off scot-free for their abuse, so long as they have enough money and power. even if, for example, a multi-part documentary comes out about their extensive abuse. Hero worship creates an unjustifiable power imbalance. Once someone is up on that pedestal, they are looking down on you. Once they're up there, it is human nature for them to start believing the hype that they belong up there. And in contrast, they will start believing that you belong down here. People in first class believe they deserve to be in first class, you know, to make a really bad metaphor. Nobody deserves to live better than anyone else, but that's getting beyond the point. Anarchists warn against hero worship because it creates a hierarchy with multitudes worshiping at the altar of a select elite minority. Ursula Le Guin's literary voice touched me very deeply to my core. In 2007, it shook the foundations of who I was, and it altered me forever. I cannot be who I was before reading The Dispossessed. It's not possible. Without Ursula Le Guin's visibility and platform, I never would have become who I am today. Now, with that being said, I need to remember that I also wouldn't be who I am today without the millions of interactions I have had over my life with friends, family, colleagues, people with whom I share a real social relationship. I can summon just a few quick examples off the top of my head. My friend Jerry taught me how to communicate clearly and with an eye towards how other people listen and learn, you know, what they see as relevant and important versus what my personal lens may focus on. My friend Justin taught me patience and showed me that some people absolutely do not see the world like I do. My parents taught me to be critical, to ask questions ceaselessly. My friend Jim taught me to always be improving, but to do so slowly and with patient caution. My sisters taught me how to not be an entitled brat. My wife has taught me more lessons than I could possibly sum up in one tiny anecdote. And that's really the greater point. Yes, Beyonce has touched millions of people, but why does she get to have a voice over anyone else? Why does any politician who doesn't know anything about anything get to have a voice over yours? There is nobody more important than you, and you are no more important than anyone else. We all deserve to be heard just as we all need to listen. In The Dispossessed, speaking as the anarchist Odo, Ursula Le Guin wrote, "For we each of us deserve everything, every luxury that was ever piled in the tombs of the dead kings, and we each of us deserve nothing, not a mouthful of bread in hunger. Have we not eaten while another starved? Will you punish us for that? Will you reward us for the virtue of starving while others ate? No man earns punishment. No man earns reward. Free your mind of the idea of deserving, the idea of earning, and you will begin to be able to think." In her essay, Woman's Suffrage, Emma Goldman wrote, "We boast of the age of advancement, of science and progress. Is it not strange, then, that we still believe in fetish worship? True, our fetishes have different form and substance, yet in their power over the human mind, they are still as disastrous as were those of old. Woman, even more than man, is a fetish worshiper, and though her idols may change, she is ever on her knees, ever holding up her hands, ever blind to the fact that her god has feet of clay. Thus, woman has been the greatest supporter of all deities from time immemorial. Thus, too, she has had to pay the price that only gods can exact: her freedom, her heart's blood, her very life." When we build pillars and put normal, fallible human beings on them, and in so doing, give those fallible human beings power and influence, some of those fallible human beings are going to abuse that power. and take advantage of other people. A secondary danger of the parasocial relationship is the very real and palpably negative effects the downfall of abusive celebrities can have on the people whose lives they have touched. My wife is, you know, just a recent casualty of this ongoing trend. But the list now of, you know, celebrities who have abused their power and influence is depressingly long, and it grows by the day. Just really quick research reveals, and this is a tiny, tiny amount of the giant list I was able to find. Neil deGrasse Tyson, Bill Cosby, James Franco, Mario Batali, Nick Carter, Louis C.K., Dustin Hoffman, John Lasseter, Jeremy Piven, Brett Ratner, Steven Seagal, Russell Simmons, Tom Sizemore, Kevin Spacey, Jeffrey Tambor, George Takei, and that hurts me on a personal level as a Trekkie, Harvey Weinstein, Charlie Rose, Matt Lauer, Garrison Keillor, and the list goes on and on and on and on. The sheer number of politicians, by the way, on this list and on similar lists is ridiculous. And yet, of course, we continue to vote, white men into power. The list goes on and it will grow. You know, I've heard multiple times people saying things like, oh, if it comes out that so-and-so is a rapist, I'll just die. That'll be it. You know, or similar things like that. What is it going to take for people to realize the parasocial relationship, hero worship, idol worship, social influencers, and all of, you know, the similar social insanities that we're kind of struggling with right now are harmful, and are harmful by dint of the hierarchy and power imbalance rooted in their creation and rooted in our society? Whose fall from grace will be the last straw is my question. Who is too perfect? Tom Hanks? Tom Hanks is a lot of people's final straw, or so they say. And despite how it looks going through this list, the problem is not men. Yes, to be sure, toxic masculinity definitely has a part to play in this tragedy, and it is an absolute tragedy. This particular social ill is caused directly by giving incredible power and influence to individuals, and then expecting them to be immune to the corrupting effects of that power and influence. And actually, no, that's too reductive. We did not just give incredible power and influence to anybody. These individuals sought it out. And it was said better than I can say it in the essay that we read, I think two episodes ago, by David Graeber. Specifically, those people who seek out power over others and influence over others are exactly the last people we should be giving it to. The saying goes, power corrupts. And then it goes on to say that absolute power corrupts absolutely. But I see no reason to even finish that thought. Why even go there? Just start and end with power corrupts. And we all recognize that. And yet we all continue to play this destructive game where we keep giving power to individuals. We especially continue to cede our own personal power to individuals who want it. They want power over other people. They want to be able to affect change to the betterment of themselves and to the detriment of others if that's what it takes. If we want abuse of this kind to stop, if we were really serious and interested in finally stopping these rampant violators, which, by the way, hold no real repercussions in this world, or they face no real repercussions in this world. There are a few quote unquote victories, you know. Maybe Cosby will go to jail. You know, he's pretty bad, but at least to this, at this time, I'm not familiar that Harvey Weinstein, for example, has faced any actual repercussions beyond social pressures. I'll tell you what, Harvey Weinstein is fine. You know, he's rich enough that he's going to live quite comfortably despite a bunch of people being a little angry at him for all of his terrible abuses. For all these rampant violations, there are little to no actual repercussion in this world. So if time, you know, if quote unquote time is actually up, and if we're sick and tired enough of this kind of thing continuing, then it is incumbent on us to face dead on the corrupting influence of power and to begin working towards flattening our social hierarchy. So in the meantime, what can we do? On a very personal level, what can we do? Well, I would suggest that you put more stock and effort into your social relationships, the actual people that you know and who know you. Build up the people in your immediate life who are important to you, and be good to the people to whom you are important. I guarantee there are lots of people to whom you are very important. And I know for a fact there are people that are important to you that you know personally and have opportunities to interact with on a weekly basis. Help one another. Listen to one another. Stop paying attention to the people who don't even know that you exist. Stop paying attention to their lives, their accomplishments, their achievements. Stop applauding them and begin paying more attention to your own life, your own accomplishments, your own achievements, and those of the people who are most important to you. Pay attention to the people surrounding you, on whose lives you can actually affect a real positive change. Concentrate on the people that you can impact positively, and invite those people to have more of a direct influence on your life as well. Because when we all work together in solidarity with one another, and we stop paying attention to what really are just distractions, like the political arena, the drama of Hollywood, the social influencers, quote unquote, on platforms like Instagram and Facebook and all that, they're the least important people in the world. The most important people in the world are you and the people that surround you every single day. I'd say focus on that. In the meantime, thank you for tuning in to The Anti here on WXRW River West Radio. I've been your host, NTSC, and I'll be back again next week to discuss further topics as they relate to freedom and our awesome shared potential. Past episodes can be found at creamcitymedia.com/anti, and more information about the show can be found on riverwestradio.com. Be good to each other.